Hi there, global citizens. Welcome back to the podcast that inspires a borderless mindset around manifesting a new world. I am your host, Florence Adu, coming to you with part two of my conversation with Frances Brown. As you may have caught last week, Frances and I have been longtime collaborators, and we collaborated most recently on a project called the Mofra Channel, which is available on Amazon Prime. So be sure to check that out. There are links in the show notes. And also, definitely go back to part one, because Frances tells us all about how he came into the animation space and how he's thriving in that space from building content globally, as well as working towards an animation school. So a little bit of background, he's the founder and creative director of Animax FYB Studios in Ghana, which is the first of its kind in Ghana. He is an award-winning filmmaker, and he's trained in a number of different cinematic mediums and has over 10 years experience in the audiovisual industry. So if you missed part one, go back. I go through all his wonderful accolades and awards. He's really a rising star in the animation space. So please do listen to that part of the conversation or check it out in the show notes. And we're picking up the conversation with Frances talking a little bit about the policy aspects of where we are with putting a strong foot forward in the cinema space in Ghana in particular.
For example, in Ghana, the whole of Ghana, about 36 million people. We only have four DCI theaters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So tell us more about what a DCI theater is, so that we can.
So a DCI theater means that the theater has compliances that works with the big studios for distribution. So when they bring their films, the projectors will be able to show it, and even not just the projectors, their spaces are conducive for business.
Sure. So proper movie, screens, proper yes. film. Movie
exactly.
theaters.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. And we only have four. And out of the four, we have two in Accra and two in Kumasi. What of the other regions? Meanwhile, Ghana was really big on films before the days of Latter-day Saints, who came to buy all our cinema spaces and turn them into churches, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. From the 60s down to even mid-90s, we were having some good cinema spaces. In the mid-90s, I remember I was taken to Princess Cinema.
Oh, right. There were a lot of, there were more, yeah.
And they've all turned into
churches. That's right.
Basically, you see, if you think about it, you get to also realize that then the government was in a way trying to tell us that film business is not a lucrative business. Meanwhile, it was booming. Nigeria, with the biggest film industry in Africa right now, was playing in Ghana. Ghana was their playing field. Before Nollywood was Ghana Films. Nkrumah intentionally built Ghana Films for some of these reasons. He worked to create the GBC production unit, that's the Ghana Films, to be able to do
And they have big studios.
Yes.
Yeah, that's,
You see? But we lost it all to foreign investors who are not really reinvesting into the industry. So that's why I started off saying that we need to reinvest in ourselves.
Sure.
And we need to find local investors who truly believe in what we are doing. It's not only about the real estate and fast moving commodities, but also IP creation. Intellectual property is the new wave for investment. If you look at the EU,
exactly.
Yeah, right, yeah, the Emirates, that's where they are putting money now. Yes, it's no more tourism, it's no more oil and gas, it is really IP creation.
Wow. Yeah, and you've been spending time there, so you're very aware of what's going on there. Yeah. So when you think about distribution beyond cinemas, what are your thoughts on, you know, these streaming platforms? Because most Africans, given that there are not that many studios, and given that free-to-air television is, many people don't have televisions, but they do have phones.
Yes.
So what are your thoughts on the phone as the most medium? Because honestly, I don't watch
too much content on my phone just because that's just not how I prefer to consume it. But those who don't have an option, that's what they're going to do. So what are your thoughts on the different platforms, particularly mobile phones, as a major means of content distribution in Africa?
It is. It is the way to go, actually. But then, I don't know, it seems like anytime you think about any possible means to make something happen for Africans, there's always something also blocking it, and which you definitely see it and can't seem to have solution around it. In this case, it's internet. Internet is super expensive in Africa, in Ghana to be specific.
In particular, yeah.
It is super expensive here, and it's also not reliable.
Right.
So it makes it very difficult for you to, as an audience, to invest your data into streaming on your phone or on your laptop.
Right.
Comes super expensive. Right. And as a producer, one, you're also really not getting a lot of traction because of cost of internet. So your audience are not going to the platforms to go watch your stuff. And we don't also have homemade platforms that are there to support.
Yeah.
Not enough. We may be having some OTTs, as I said, but visibility is the challenge.
Sure.
They don't have the marketing budget to push their own projects, not to talk about the third party projects. How they also structure the contract is also another challenging thing, where if you're going to share revenue and there's no one almost coming on that platform, then what are you getting? You see, then you're also losing out on that. So
sounds like we definitely need to reimagine all of what is considered traditional.
Yes.
And really come up with the different kind of matrices that work for our people.
Yes.
Yeah, and a lot of it is probably grassroots.
Grassroots. I mean, I've seen it done before. And unfortunately, these guys did it so well and they sold out. Iroko TV.
Yeah, yeah.
Iroko did it so well.
Yeah.
And now I see Showmax also using the same template, and they are also really coming in strong.
Sure.
Because their subscription prices are very moderate.
Yeah.
The type of content that they are pushing are very relatable,
mm-hmm.
and the quality is good.
Yeah.
They are also reinvesting into the ecosystem by picking some of the best talent out there to produce for them. Yes, in fact, working with them to produce more content, right? And this is how we are going to be able to build and build fast,
right?
Than to just create a platform and expect someone to invest and bring it to you and you share revenue with them. It doesn't work that way, you see. So some of these things and solutions are what we need to start looking at.
Right. Exactly. So I think that's a good pivot into my mindset hack. So how do you hack your mind? What is your favorite innovative one that you practice, one that you know of, mindset hack?
Mine is in stages, but the one that I really love the most is conceptualizing.
Okay. So you just do it.
Yes. Because conceptualizing is where I get to live in this imaginary world and thinking through what's possible, you know, not having any doubts, not having any limitations, just thinking and freely living in a world where I see possibilities.
Okay.
And when I come into the real world and I start thinking of, okay, these are the challenges, so how do I use some of the imaginations that I had to create solutions for the real world problems.
Right. Yeah.
So that is where I like to use my mind.
Okay. Okay. Nice. So now we're in 2024,
yeah.
Early stages. What's new and next for Francis and FYB?
Francis, I just got married.
Yes, congratulations. I'll tell you folks, it was a beautiful wedding.
Thank you.
So yes.
I just got married. So it's like I'm in an incubation period where I'm soaking in the experience.
Oh, yes.
It's still fresh.
that honeymoon-ish
yes.
time.
But as I'm doing that too, it's was also very refreshing in a way of where I'm thinking through the next stages, the next step, because as my wife would say, it's go time.
Yeah.
So if it's go time, it means that it's all, everything that's going to happen is next level thing.
And okay. Yeah.
It needs to be well thought of. And so I'm in that space where I'm taking my time to really recalibrate and see what I can do further than what I'm already doing.
So I'm curious about your perspective as an animator, because the industry is changing so rapidly, and even as a creative in the film industry, what are your thoughts on AI?
So I love AI, I like it, but at the same time too, I have my own issues with it. I'll start by talking about the love for it, which will be the fact that, yes, the world is moving, it's evolving very fast. Technology is changing each and every day. And I remember when I used to draw on papers, light box, and scan them to make the animations. And then I got the tablet, and now I don't even use the tablet again. I draw directly on the screen. And now AI is here where you can literally use prompt to create artworks. So I see how it's helping ease the work of artists. But I always say that if it is not, if you, the artist, you're not control over the work in a way, then you become a tool for the AI instead of the AI becoming a tool for you. So I love to use it to expand on my imaginations, my own creativity, what I've already thought of and already worked on, than to allow it to create stuff for me from scratch.
Yeah.
That will be like a cheat code, which the moment you do that as an artist, it moves you away from being an artist to more like someone who uses tools to produce results. What my main challenge is with AI is the fact around copyright. Because AI is basically gathering tons of different artworks to create results for you. What happens to those that they are building taking from?
Yes.
And you know, they need to be well compensated, or there needs to be some sort of what's the word? I would say it needs to be professional. It needs to be ethical.
Right,
that's
right,
the word.
Ethical,
it needs to be ethical. Because AI is, as it is now, it seems like it's a free-range bird, which is not being confined by certain rules and regulations. And it makes it also very difficult for people who are genuinely creating stuff. Mm-hmm. People are also losing out on it because they're losing out on business and their ends meet because of how AI is programming itself now.
Right. So interesting about the idea of artists, because I read recently that if you put in as a prompt, do something in the style of an artist, it won't do it. Like there's some ethics that have started to be layered in. And so that's
so
one way.
These are some of the things, have to tell it, and if it can do it, it does it for you. That is how we got to train it, than to get them to steal from.
Right. And maybe there's such a thing as a firewall that artists, like, you create a vault.
Right.
So that creates a paywall, which in one sense, it's great because you are, you know, preserving your IP and, you know, the authenticity of you. But at the same time, the whole idea of being a creator is that you want the world to see it.
Yes, you don't want to limit your creation.
Yeah.
So these are some of the things. It means that when we are uploading our content, it means that we need to also have some secured stuff that comes with it, so that it's encrypted in a way where it will be safe from piracy. But in this digital world as we are living in, work pass on so easily, you get things pirated so easily. So how are we going to mitigate that challenge? But AI in itself is a good thing. I would say that it's come to stay. Mm-hmm. If you don't move with it, you mm-hmm. become redundant.
Exactly. Dinosaurs, yeah. Basically.
Yeah, basically. So we got to be very smart about it and see where the weaknesses of the AI is.
Sure. So I recently did an experiment with sort because I recognize that I prefer to work with a person, right? And like an animator like yourself, to actually bring a story to fruition. And I've watched people do projects just strictly in AI, and it's okay, but there are definitely flaws, you know, like
there's no
like four fingers.
Real human touch to it.
Right. You can feel the distance between a human and that. And so the experiment I did, I spent an hour on chat using DALL-E. And I gave it a prompt, just a short synopsis. And each time it said, oh, let us know and let's tweak it. Each time it created a whole different
story.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking, how can this ever be effective in working with it? Because each time it created the same prompt. I said, well, just leave it the same. Just change this. Gave me a whole different.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of filmmaking. Mm-hmm. We always say that when you give the same script to 10 different directors, you get 10 different stories, films.
Okay.
And that is what it is.
Yeah.
So AI is basically the mind of different people, different things. It's not like a linear thing.
It's not our own, right?
Exactly.
So it's not, right, particularly because I haven't trained it yet. So, I mean, that's the next level. I mean, I think I feel like what we're moving towards is we're training our own avatar to be
for ourselves. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So then they'll be more effective at just tweaking as opposed to like, okay, let me pass it on to this AI and pass it on to this. Because that's literally what I felt like. I was like, this is like a whole different person.
Yes.
I said, just keep that one. I'm like, well, how could I ever build on
anything? You see, so if you have any idea or concept that you want to expand on, then it means that you're going to be getting a lot of interferences and you wouldn't be able to land on that
exactly
product that you're looking for.
And I was just using it as a to storyboard, right? So I was thinking, okay, let me put together some storyboards so I can give it to you, right? So that then we can start from there. But
no, it will
like
give you
the
different
first time.
Results.
Yeah. So we shall see.
it will get better.
Yeah,
it only gets better with also reinforced laws behind it to make everyone comfortable.
Yeah.
Or else, it's definitely also going to put a lot of people out of business.
Yes.
And we need to embrace ourselves for it. It means that we need to also always advance ourselves.
Yeah. So speaking of that, with the strike that took place over the summer, that had ripple effects, you know, all over the world. Yeah. And so what are your thoughts on what the outcome was? Is it you're fine? Does it make sense to you? What do you think it's going to carry over to other markets?
I think the outcome wasn't like definite to me. I think it will be something that we'll have to revisit to make sure that everyone is okay at the end of the day.
And how it is.
Yeah.
So who was Francis when he's not working and conceptualizing and all those things? And I like to ask it in the frame of, are you a reader, a watcher, or a listener? And what are some of your favorite reads, watches, or listens?
I like to watch more than I read.
Okay.
I'm recently trying to get into reading by listening to audiobooks.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm an audiobook.
Listening and watching.
Yeah.
But I love to watch a lot. I love to watch historical pieces. Because I really want to understand who we are as a people. And some of these things really takes me into their world and see how Africans were living before now and how best we can use that knowledge to solve certain problems today to inform our future, you know. And I love watching anime.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So my favorite animation for anime is Afro Samurai.
Afro Samurai, is that out of Nigeria?
No. Afro Samurai is from Japan.
Oh, okay. So it is a Japan, it's a
yeah,
proper
it's a
anime
production.
Okay.
But it's a black guy.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
So Afro Samurai.
Afro Samurai and Boondocks.
Boondocks, yeah.
Yeah, Boondocks, I mean, Boondocks is all-time favorite.
Yeah, and that's classic.
And also Tales of the Black Freighter. It's a short film.
Okay.
It is based off the film and comic The Watchmen.
Yes. That was on The Watchmen was on Netflix, right?
Yes. No, The Watchmen, the new one was on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But the original Watchmen is produced by Marvel.
Yeah. Okay. That was a great show.
DC.
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 It was DC.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
DC.
Okay.
The Watchmen is DC.
But the
Tales of the Black Freighter, yes. It's also a DC animation, short animation, and it's very powerful. It's basically a story about the mind.
Which, yeah, I can see that coming through as iterated in The Watchmen.
Yes.
Yeah. And so where do you go for your historical content? You know, and I can see it as it's reflected in your work. So where do you typically go to find those?
So most of the time, my research starts from the internet.
Okay.
I try to find articles and blogs and books that have been made into PDFs and online. But to verify and get some clarifications, I've made some good friends at the universities, different universities. Especially the one in Ghana, Legon. So I visit them from time to time, sit with them, discuss some of these subjects to get into the facts of things, you know. And sometimes I read books too.
But you're right, the internet, YouTube, there's a lot.
Yeah, they don't have it. Like, sometimes on the internet you have it in fragments.
Right,
and
exactly.
Yeah, it
like
doesn't
old
help.
Things that someone has found, but nothing that's consolidated.
Yes.
I would love to discover or to see someone aggregate like a whole archive of African film, like properly put it together so that we have a BBC type of aggregation, because the BBC has so, the archives are huge.
The whole of Africa.
Yeah, and they exactly. They
and
also
even the
have
UK.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
exactly. Yeah.
I pitched this idea to the National Film Authority one time for us to build
an archive.
An archive, and not just an archive, building a museum.
Mm-hmm.
And this museum doesn't necessarily have to be a fiscal one for now, because I know that the challenge of, oh, budget will come to the table.
Yeah.
So the idea would just fade off. But then we build a virtual museum where all of these things can be brought into the space. Right. So you don't necessarily need to travel. You just pay a token to visit the museum and have your own experience in a virtual reality form.
Yeah. Speaking of tokens, you've done a little bit of NFT for it. So that is actually also the style.
Yes.
That's the, yeah.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, and the NFTs were also in Coleco
style. Yes, exactly, Coleco
style.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's value there, so. It's all about timing. So soon. Well, Francis, this has been so wonderful. It's so good to sit and just talk about stuff and us. So before we sign off for today, do you have any last words that you'd like to share with the audience?
So I'll say that for us to thrive, I see a lot of people a bit disappointed in the film industry in Ghana and Africa. But for us all not to be disappointed, I think it's a collective job. We need to patronize made in Ghana, made in African content. We need to challenge the filmmakers to think deep and produce quality work. We need to invest into the industry because we have talented people that are always pushed because they're not getting the opportunity. Yeah, so if we think about the industry as a whole in a 360 form as an ecosystem, and also, yeah, just motivate people to also build businesses around film, because there is a lot of opportunities there. We need lawyers to come into IP law, you know, we need music makers to think of making music for films, you know, engineers, you know, so even with inventors, those who create stuff, let's create cameras that is tailor-made for the black skin, because most of these cameras are not really made for the black skin.
That's some science, right? That's some science we're not even aware of.
Exactly. For us to really appreciate ourselves on the screen, we need to reinvest. That's what I mean.
Right. Like really understand and build for us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Thank you, Francis.
Thank you, too.
Yes. All right, folks, this has been another episode of the podcast. You can catch us Tuesdays with new episodes at globalcitizenspod.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Amazon, Spotify, Google, Apple. Again, you get the idea. Leave us a review. 120/24 is what we're aiming at. And until next time, bye for now.